أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء. وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا. صلوات. And then we took the covenant of the children of Israel to worship none but Allah and to have beautiful and nice behavior towards the parents. Tonight is the last speech of this Ashara, 10 Majalis, on the subject of Ihsan towards the parents. And although lots of points and ahkam are still remaining, and I could only cover some of the important points only, but there was an aspect that I made a commitment in the early speeches to talk about in the last speech that I would like to cover tonight. We have a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Where he says that إِنَّ الْوَلَدَ لَيَكُونُ بَارًا, that is, it is possible sometimes what happens is that a person, a child, is a good doer towards his parents, ثُمَّ يَمُوتَانِ, and then his parents die, فَلَا يَقْضِي دُيُونَهُمَا وَلَا يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمَا, and the son does not pay back their duyun. Duyun in Arabic means their monetary obligations or other obligations that the parents have on their neck. فَلَا يَقْضِي عَنْهُمَا دُيُونَهُمَا, the son does not pay back their obligations, like they had some prayers remaining, they did not perform, fasts, homes, hajj, any credit they took from somebody, any other form of loan or obligations on their neck. The son was a good doer in the lifetime of the parents, but that day as they passed away, he does not take care of their remaining obligations. فَلَا يَقْضِي دِيُونَهُمَا وَلَا يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمَا. Plus the son does not perform istighfar for them after the death of the parents. فَيَكْتُبُهُ اللَّهُ عَاقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes this son to be an aq of his parents, disassociated from his parents, a disobedient son. What we understand from this hadith of the Prophet is that it is very good for a person to be a good doer towards his parents in their lifetime, but it is compulsory for the children to continue the good behavior even after the death of the parents. So if we perform good, behave good in their lifetime, but when they pass away, we forget them, Prophet says, فَيَكْتُبُهُ اللَّهُ عَقًا. We would be written by Allah as aq, although we were good doers in the time of when they were living. So we have to continue the good behavior and perform our duties towards the parents even after their departure. Yeah, one of the ladies called me from a city and she was asking the Islamic issue, and she said, well, what happened is that my dad passed away, and I have several brothers and we distributed the inheritance among ourselves. Now, what I want to ask you is that my dad never used to pray, never used to fast. He never went for Hajj, and he never gave khums. And what is the ruling, Islamic ruling for us and for the money that we have distributed? And what should I do with this money? I said, first of all, who gave you the right to distribute this money? Islamically, it is your duty. Nobody can touch the money of inheritance unless and until all the obligations towards Allah and towards the people are taken care of. You have to give away the khums plus fulfill the rest of the duties that were wajib on the neck of the father from the same money of inheritance, and then you could distribute it among the inheritors. How dare can you touch the money of inheritance? There are laws about it. And she said, well, if I tried to, you know, pay back the amount of money that I received from my father, and that's a very less amount, just peanuts. So if I tried paying back that money, what would I get? Because he never prayed throughout his life. So now if you try to pay back, maybe even if we combine all the money that he left in inheritance, the whole money would not suffice with the total obligations, for the total obligations he has. So what's the use? Even if I don't give it, it is not sufficient. I said, now, do you understand? One of the reasons why and how we are doing zulm towards the Imam of our time, and why is he in the raibat? Because that is how we are behaving towards the matter of khums towards the Imam. Although you know that this money has, the khums has to be given out of it, but you are not ready to give it. Majority of the people are not giving the khums. And majority of those who are giving, that amount of khums which is given is not delivered into the right and appropriate hands. So what I was telling, the hadith of the Prophet, فَلَا يَقْضِي عَنْهُمَا دِيُونَهُمَا وَلَا يَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمَا فَيَكْتُبُهُ اللَّهُ عَقًّا. A son after the departure of the parents forgets them, does not pay back their loans and other obligations, and Allah, although he was a good doer in his lifetime, in their lifetime, but now that he didn't perform his duties after their departure, Allah considers this son to be an ark of his parents. So we got to remember the duties even after their death, equally. And likewise, if a son was ark in the lifetime of the parents, but he performs his obligations towards the, he starts performing those obligations towards his parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes him as a bar, as a person who is a good doer towards his parents. So the tawbah, the door of tawbah is never shut. It's always open. We have a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam where he says that inna arwaha al-mu'mineen, and that's narrated in Masabih al-Qulub, inna arwaha al-mu'mineen ya'atuna fi kulli laylatul jumu'a fayakumuna fi bifina'i buyutihim ثم ينادي كل واحد منهم بصوت حزين. The souls of the mu'mineen. Let's suppose the father, my father departed. The soul of my father, the soul of my mother, the soul of my brother, my sister. Prophet says the souls of the mu'mineen arrive in their houses, and stand in the backyard. In the yard of the house, and every one among them announces with a sorrowful voice that اعتفوا علينا بصدقة that وارحموا غربتنا that have mercy over us and give sadaqah on our behalf. You know, just like you, we also used to live in this world, so much engaged in the lives, forgetting our duties towards Allah. So much involved with the love affair of this money, and the love towards this dunya, hubb al-dunya, that we forgot our duties. But now it's your turn. Now we cannot erase, we cannot undo all that he already did. But you have the time, you have every chance to realize. And plus, remember us in your prayers, remember us in your good deeds, remember us in your sadaqat. Do something for us, don't forget us, because we cannot do anything on our own. We are at your mercy. Prophet says, بِفِئِرْحَمُوا غُرْبَتَنَا, have mercy over our ghurbat. We are stranded. And they wait if the people of their homes, they take care of the departed ones, they do something for them, they read a Fatiha, they read or give a sadaqah, they do any good act on their behalf, fine, they feel happy. Otherwise, they get back so disturbed and frustrated from their homes. And Ibn Junayd says in his riwayat that once he says that he was there in Kufa, and as he slept, he saw in his dream the graveyard of Kufa. The people came out from their graves. Every person buried came out from their graves, and they sat close to their graves, and the angels arrived from Allah bringing kinds of bowls for them, and everybody kept on waiting there till the time people started getting back to their graves. But there was a young boy there who was still waiting close to his grave, and he did not get back. For a long time he was waiting there, And he, this Ibn Junayd, he asked him that what's going on? Who are these? And why are, what are these bulls? And what are these people receiving? And why are you waiting? And you did not get back to your grave. And he said, these are all the people who are died and waiting for the good acts of their respective family members. Whosoever remembers them on the Thursday night, Laylatul Jumu'ah, their good deeds are delivered to their respected departed ones. And I did not receive nothing from my relatives. I was waiting. Maybe some person from my household would remember me. I waited for long, but nobody recalled me. And I had to go back disappointed. Once in fact, somebody lying on his bed in the final moments of his life, waqtul ihtidar, yeah, everybody is around him, his father, his mother, his wife, his kids. And he turned to his mother and asked, well, why are you, everybody crying? Why are you crying? And she said, well, you are my son. I raised you. I thought you would help me when I become old, but now you are leaving me. So who's going to help me? He turned to his father and said, well, you are my son. I thought when you get old, you would support me. But now you are leaving, who's going to support me? He turned to his wife. She said, how can I raise your orphans when you are leaving? You are leaving all these children as orphans for me? It's hard for me to raise all these orphans alone. And he turned to his kids and they said, Dad, you are making us orphans. And the guy said, well, all of you are, all you care about is yourselves and your personal benefits, and you don't even think that now I'm going to die and face the accountability of those angels in my grave. So you are not caring about what I'm going to face in my grave, and what I'm going through, and what I shall face in the future, and what are my acts. All you care about is yourselves. That is the nature of the human. So the lesson that we learn is that we got to do for ourselves something on our own. And don't expect anything from anybody else to do for you. Don't rely on your kids in the sense, well, I don't pray for, I have to pray 8 years of prayer, so I did not pray in my life. Well, I write down my will and wasiyat for my children, they will do it for me. Somebody passed away and he wrote his will that pray 40 years of my prayers. What were you doing? 40 years of your prayers? Man, the children don't have the time to pray for themselves. How can they pray for your 40 years? That's why in our certain riwayat we find so many beautiful aspects that are eye-openers for us to realize ahead of time, that don't pay over attention to your kids. إِنْ كَانَ أَوْلَادُكَ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. If your children are among the awliya and beloved people of Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُزَيِّعُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. If your children, don't pay so much attention in the sense that so much importance in forgetting your own duties towards Allah. Don't do that. Earning money and piling up money for the children and at the cost of neglecting your own fara'is and duties towards Allah. That's wrong. That's an imbalance. Unfair. So, if your children are the beloved ones of Allah, they are the awliya of Allah, Allah loves them, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُزَيُّعُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. Allah does not go let his awliya go in vain or get let them spoiled. Allah takes care of them himself. because they are His beloved ones. Allah Himself take care of them. وَإِن كَانَ أَوْلَادُكَ أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ And if your children are the enemies of Allah, instead of awliya of Allah, instead of being beloved to Allah, they are the enemies of Allah and hated ones of Allah. So فَمَا هَمُّكَ بِأَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ So why are you worried about the enemies of Allah then? If your kids are the awliya, Allah will take care of them Himself. He will take care more than you. And if they are the enemies of Allah, then don't pay importance to the enemies of Allah. فَمَا هَمُّكَ بِأَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ Such a nice statement. But, again coming to the same point, the love of this dunya. And like remember, I think I told you that famous story once about the incident when the person wrote in his will that the Holy Prophet shall distribute all of all those dates that I have in this warehouse. The Holy Prophet should arrive and distribute these dates to the destitute and the poor, deserving people in the town. The person wrote his will and passed away. Prophet knew the will. Now that he learnt, he came along with some of his companions, and under his supervision, Prophet started distributing, commanded his ashab, and they started distributing those dates from the warehouse among the poor people. When they were done, Prophet asked, this is the love of this dunya. How much we pile up the money and how much importance we pay to this money at the cost of neglecting our duties and values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So, what happened when they were done with the distribution, Prophet asked that companion who was bringing the dates from that warehouse and distributing under Prophet's supervision. Prophet asked from him, are you done? I mean, are all the dates finished in the warehouse or is there anything still remaining? And he said, no, Ya Rasulullah, all the dates are now finished. We are done with it. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam himself went into that warehouse to have a look. And he found one single date lying close to a corner. Prophet went there, picked up that date in his hands and addressed his companions. Thus, had this person just donated, that date, one single date was rotten. The riwayat says it was a rotten date which was unable to be eaten by anybody. That's why they left it. It's a rotten date. Prophet held in his hand and said, if this person had just donated this one single date out of his money in his lifetime, Allah would have given him the reward more than distributing this entire warehouse after his death. Did you get the theme of the hadith? The theme of the hadith is that as long as I'm surviving, well, all the money belongs to me. Now that I'm no more living in this world, okay, let the orphans take advantage, let the poor people take advantage from my money. But as long as I'm living, I'm not ready to give anything to the poor. As long as I'm living, I'm not ready to give more donation to the poor. Everything belongs to me, even if I have lots and lots of things available extra to my needs, I will still keep them, pile them up, treasure with me, but not ready to give for the sake of Allah to the poor and deserving. But now that I am no more living, okay, let's just give it to the poor people now because I cannot take advantage anymore. This is the love and attachment of this dunya. Prophet said that everybody on the Day of Judgment would be resurrected as bare-footed and bare, no clothes on their bodies, except the muttaqeen. which we have in several riwayat, except those people who have taqwa, they would be resurrected along with their coffin. All the rest of the humans would be resurrected bare and barefooted. And there was the lady Sauda who asked the Holy Prophet there that, well, if the people are there, maybe they would look towards each other. And Prophet said, quiet. On the Day of Judgment, nobody would dare think about those things. They are so much obsessed and so much thinking about their own acts and their own selves, and so much worried about their own actions, they cannot even think about those things. Everybody would be resurrected bare on the Day of Judgment, except the Muttaqeen. الْأَخِلَّاهُ الْأَخِلَّاءُ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. On the other day I told you the tafsir of that ayat. All the friends, they are enemies towards each other, except the muttaqeen. Except those who have taqwa. They are the real friends. All the rest of the friendships are fake. They are enemies of each other. They don't realize, but they are. They would realize on the Day of Judgment, which is the Yawm al-Zuhur and Yawm al-Qibla al-Sara'ir, then all the secrets would be revealed. So, except there are three places in our certain riwayat, we find three places where nobody will recognize each other. The first place is at the place of Mizan. Mizan, the scale, the balance, the measure. When we are there on the place of Mizan, nobody would care about each other. Everybody is thinking about himself. And we find in the hadith of the Holy Prophet addressing to Imam Ali alayhi salam that, Ya Ali, anta mizan al-amal. You are the mizan of amal. You are the measure of all the actions of the entire people. What is your behavior towards the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? Is that what would decide about your destiny? Your behavior towards his walayat, because the hellfire is created for those who deny the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Walayat with a fatha, with a zabar on the waw, means government and khilafat and imamat, hukumat. We are talking about vilayat with a kasra and zir under waw. We are talking about walayat. There's a big difference between two. So, and the second place where people will not remember each other, recognize each other, is the place of tata'ir al-kutub, where all the books of a'mal would be delivered to the people. And some people receive with the right in the right hand, and some in the left hand, books would be delivered into the left hand. Some they would receive from their backs. And some of the people, the books would be hanged into their necks. صَارَتِ الْأَعْمَالُ أَغْلَالًا فِي الْأَعْنَاقِ. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, he is seeking refuge of Allah from the time when the acts of the humans will become the shackles and the chains in the neck of the people. Actions will form, come up in the form of a chain tied up into your necks. Saratil a'malu aghlalan fil a'naq. Aghlal means chains. So the second place is the place of Tatayur al-Kutub, distribution of the books of Acts to everybody. And the third place is the place where the hellfire will raise its flames on the evildoers to compensate for their sins. What were those? There are some sins which are defined in our riwayat that shall be compensated for. That's a place where nobody will remember anyone. And the fire will say that وَكِّلْتُ بِثَلَاثٍ, I am made responsible to take care of three categories of people. بِمَنْ دَعَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. Firstly, for those people who associated partner with Allah. And secondly, كُلِّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ, all those arrogant, tyrant people who were so arrogant in their lives. Kull jabbarin aneed. I already told you in the other day that arrogance is not at all accepted by Allah. And we find when it comes to the love of this dunya, we forget all the duties. And we don't care what we are talking about a big mess. And that we are harming ourselves, and none but ourselves. A person, I was traveling to Europe, one of the countries in Europe, and a person came and asked me, well, Maulana, I sent my son in the army of that government, a Tawhid government. I sent my son in the army of the Tawhid government. Is it okay? A government which is fighting against Islam. Number one enemy of Islam today. I said, well, it is just like, if you were living in the time of Amir Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and you send your son in Damascus in the army of Muawiyah, and tomorrow you come back to Kufa and say to Amir Mu'mineen that, Mawla, I love you. Sending you tomorrow, the Battle of Safan happens, your son is going to stand in front of Amir Mu'mineen with his sword, fighting, ready to fight Amir Mu'mineen alayhi salam. That's what you are saying. We are ready to do anything to make money. We don't care what's the law. All we care is to make money at any cost. Some people just came here to make money. At every cost, everybody needs money. Everybody needs money, but at what cost? And the name says that dunya bil amwal, bil akhirah bil a'mal. Dunya is with the amwal, and akhirat is with amal. Everybody needs money, but at what cost? At the cost of sacrificing our values? We find in the riwayat in Wasa'il al-Shia, and likewise in Furu' al-Kafi, from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, to Imam Qadir alayhi salam. This I am telling you because I already promised you in one of the early speeches that since we have several duties towards our parents, and some of those we already discussed in those 9 speeches, but since Prophet has said that Ana wa Ali abawa hadhihi al-ummah, me and Ali are the two fathers of this ummah. Wala haqquna alayhim a'zam min, and our right over them is greater than the right of their real biological fathers. نُنْقِذُهُمْ إِنْ أَطَاعُونَ مِنَ النَّارِ. We are going to save them, even their fathers, if they obey us. We are going to save them from the hellfire. We are more superior to their fathers. We are the spiritual fathers of the entire ummah. Everybody included, even the prophets and messengers. And every good act performed by the people, they are part of it. They are the spiritual fathers. And I remember that my teacher Ayatollah Jalabi, Hafizahullah, in his lesson of Tafsir was saying that this parenthood, this ubuwwat that Prophet is mentioning in this hadith, this parenthood is an ubuwwat which is haqiqi, which is real. It's not something majazi or metaphorical. No, it's a real parenthood, what Prophet talk. That's the real parenthood. So, the behavior we have towards our spiritual fathers has to be very, very cautious and much more sensitive as compared to how we behave towards our parents. Allah does not even accept any negligence towards our biological fathers. How can you tolerate something, some negligence towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam? It's impossible. And when we are sending the son to fight in the Tawhid army, we are messing around with the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. And there is a zero tolerance law with Allah about the matter of walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Like it or not, there is a zero tolerance law. If anybody messes around with the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, there is no tolerance whatsoever. That's why the hellfire is created. There's zero tolerance. You have to mold yourself according to the law of Ahlul Bayt. Don't try to bend the law of Ahlul Bayt according to your desires. That would spoil the Sharia. That's what the Yahud and Nasara already did. An aqil person, al-aqil man itta'arra bighayrihi. Aqil is the one who takes a lesson from others. Take a lesson from them. Don't emulate the Yahud and Nasara on what they already did. So, the rewrite I was telling you from Imam Qadim alayhi salam, the rewrite of... that Ziyad ibn Abi Salma came to Imam Qadim alayhi salam and he said that Imam said to him, Ya Ziyad, innaka la ta'amalu amr al-sultan. You are working with the Tawhid ruler. And he said, Naam, Ibn Rasulullah. Yes, I do. I work with the Tawhid government. Walima, why is that so? The common excuse. Li Muruvatan, Li Ayalan. I have a family, I got to feed them. I didn't have a jobless, I didn't have a job. They gave me a job, I went there. I was hired, that's why I'm doing. The common excuse. And Imam Qasim alayhi salam said to him that la'an usqata min haliq. Please pay attention to this riwayat. La'an usqata min haliq. فَأَتَقَطَّعُ قِطْعَةً قِطْعَةً أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَطَعَ عَلَى بِسَاقِ رَجُلٍ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ أَوْ أَتَوَلَّ لَهُمْ عَمَلًا. If I'm dropped from the top of the roof, just suppose there's a building from top of the roof, I am dropped from the top of the roof to the ground, and my body is torn into pieces. That is more beloved to me. Such a thing is more beloved to me than performing one single act for any Tawhid government. Or even stepping over in their palace, in other words, going towards them. I can't perform one single act for the Tawhid ruler. If I drop from the top, or I'm dropped from the top of the roof of a building and I am torn into pieces, is more beloved for me. إِلَّا لِمَاذَا. And he said, جَعِلْتُ فَدَاكَ لَا أَدْرِي. Except the Imam said there are some exceptions for every hadith, for every law. So in some cases it is allowed to work for the Tawhid rulers. What are those exceptions? And he said, well, may my life be sacrificed on you? I don't know. You know it better. And Imam said, إِلَّا لِتَفْرِيجِ كُرْبَةٍ عَنْ مُؤْمِنْ أَوْ قَضَاءِ بَيْنِهِ أَوْ فَكِّ أَسْرِهِ. These are three exceptions. Except if somebody works for a Tawhid government in order to pay back the loan of a mu'min or set a mu'min free from the prison of a Tawhid, or tafliji kurbatin a mu'min, or to help a fellow mu'min in his hour of need. If you do that for these three reasons, that's okay. Otherwise, it is not okay. And then he said, إِنَّ أَهْوَنَا مَا يَسْمَعُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِمَنْ تَوَلَّ لَهُمْ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُغْرَبَ عَلَيْهِ سُرَادِقْ مِنْ نَارِ حَتَّى يَفْرَغَ مِنْ حِسَابِ الْخَلَائِقِ. The least that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall do with those people who work with the Tawhid rulers is that he would fix up the tents of fire on the Day of Judgment, and these people would be bound to stay inside those tents till Allah is done with the accountability of every single person. And I told you the Day of Judgment is a day of يَوْمٌ كَانْ مَقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفْ سَنَةً, 50,000 years of this world equal to one day. That's the least that Allah will do with these people who are working with the Tawhid rulers. And then we come up and say we are very good Shias. And so we are the best of them. Such a shameful behavior. Such a shameful behavior you find. And the riwayat of Safwan is already, I think you must have heard several times from the scholars. Safwan ibn Jamal. Safwan al-Jamal. Famous, you know, and very pious and God-fearing companion of Imam Kazim alayhi salam, who had a kind of, you know, like nowadays we have a rent-a-car services. In those days they used to rent camels, and he rented his camels to Harun al-Rashid, the Tawhid ruler of his time. And when he met with Imam Kazim on the way in the street, Imam Kazim alayhi salam said to him that, Ya Safwan, everything you do is fine and good. ما خلا شيئا واحدا كل شيء منك حسن جميل ما خلا شيئا واحدا. Everything of yours is good except one. And he said, what's that one thing? He's a very pious person, and you would understand why I'm saying he's very pious. And Imam said, اقرأك جمالك من هذا الرجل يعني هارون. The bad thing of yours is that you have rented your camels to this guy, I mean Harun. He said, Mawla, I did not rent my camels for doing something haram. In fact, Harun Rashid was going for Hajj. He was going for a good cause. I was not part of a sin. He was not going for doing something wrong or haram trip or haram travel. He was going for Hajj. Imam said, do you wish from your heart that he comes back from his Hajj trip and pays you back the rent of your camels or not? He said, sure, certainly I wish. He said, Imam said, Man ahabba baqa'ahum kana minhum, wa man kana minhum kana waradan nar. Whosoever loves them, even loving by your heart towards the Tawhid people, even to that extent, that he may be safe for that period of time, that he comes back safe to your town and he pays you the rent of your camels, even for that short period of time. At least you love that he remains and he survives so that he can pay you the rent. Loving for his life and his survival for that short period of time entitles you to be part of him. He said, Man ahabba baqa'ahum, whosoever loves that the zalim and tahut people remain and survive, kana minhum, he is part of them. Wa man kana minhum, kana one of the not. And whosoever is part of them will enter the hellfire along with them. Nobody can mess around with the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There are lots of people who are serving the enemies more than they are serving Ahlul Bayt. But we are still coming into the majalis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, which is a very nice thing every year, but still don't open our eyes. Although the Qiyam of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is the biggest lesson that we have in our history, to open up our eyes, not to bow down before the Tahut rulers of our times. What did you understand from Kabbalah? If we are bowing down before the Tahut rulers of our times, and we still claim that we love Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that's a lip service. Everybody claims. Who cares about the claims? Your actions should speak louder than your words. These are your claims. Once we find in the riwayat, which is there in Bihar al-Anwar, that Mansur al-Dawaniqi, he wrote a letter, Kataba Mansur al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Mansur wrote a letter. Mansur wrote a letter the ruler, the Tahut ruler of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam's time. He wrote a letter to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said in that letter, لِمَا لَا تَخْشَانَ كَمَا يَخْشَانَ النَّاسِ. Why don't you come over to see us in our place like lots of other people come over? Why don't you come over? And Imam gave a very beautiful response. Imam said, لَيْسَ لَنَا مَا نَخَافُكَ مِنْ أَجْلِهِ. We don't have nothing to be scared of, to be afraid of you because of that. We have nothing to be scared of. And plus, وَمَا عِنْدَكَ. And you plus, you don't have nothing. مَا نَرْجُو لَهُ. You have nothing that we may wish to get from you. You don't have nothing that we may wish to get from you. And Imam said that you don't have a ni'mat of Allah. You have no ni'mat of Allah. فَنُهَنِّئُكَ. You don't have no ni'mat of Allah, so that we say our congratulations to you over that ni'mat that you have in your hands. وَلَا تَرَاهَا نِقْمَةً فَمُعَزِّيكَ بِهَا. And whatever you have, you don't consider it to be a punishment of Allah for you. You don't take it as a punishment so that I can come and, you know, say my ta'ziyat to you over your situation. You don't consider it to be a punishment either. Although it is punishment, what you are going through, it's a punishment and azab and wrath of Allah over you, but you don't take it as punishment, so why should I show up? And now he changed his, you know, tone, and he came to the point, okay, fine, that's the situation, but at least ta'al ilayna, come over and see us, litansahana, at least give us some nasihat. At least come over to say, do some nasihat to us. Okay, fine, you don't want no dunya, you don't want nothing, at least do some nasihat to us. And the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that من أراد الدنيا من أراد الدنيا لا ينصحك ومن أراد الآخرة لا يصحبك. What a beautiful statement. This is a formula for all of us to remember throughout our lives. That's how we should behave towards the Tahut rulers. من أراد الدنيا لا ينصحك ومن أراد الآخرة لا يصحبك. Whosoever likes the dunya, he will never do nasihat to you, because he wants to get closer to you. Why would he do any nasihat to you, or amr bil ma'ruf, or nahy anil munkar to you? Because he wants to seek your pleasure. ومن أراد الآخرة لا يصحبك. And whosoever wants to get akhirat, he will never be a companion of you. He will never get closer to you if he was akhirat. In another riwayat, we find that once Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, la'natullahi alayh, was Abdul Malik Yatufu, بالبيت عبد الملك بن مروان was doing the tawaf of Kaaba wa Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam and this is the riwayat of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Imam Baqir alayhi salam was actually, he narrates this riwayat that once Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan was doing the tawaf and Imam Sajjad, his father, was walking in front of him. وعلي بن الحسين عليه السلام يطوف بين يديه ولا يلتفت إليه. And Imam Sajjad did not pay no attention to Abd al-Malik. He is the ruler. وكان عبد الملك لا يعرفه بوجهه. And Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan did not recognize Imam Sajjad by his face. He knew about him but did not know him by his face. So he asked his people that who is this person walking in my front? He doesn't know that I'm the ruler or he's walking in my front, doesn't pay no attention to me. Man haza, who is this who is walking in front of me? Wala yaltafatu ilayya. And they told him, this is Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam. This is the son. This is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And he said, Rudduhu ilayya. Bring him in my presence. Bring him to me. Faradduhu ilayya. And they brought Imam Sajjad alayhi salam before Abd al-Malik. And Abd al-Malik said, that lasto qatila abika, I'm not the killer of your father, why are you so much cross with me and you pay no attention towards me? No attention whatsoever to the Tawhid people. And we are sending our kids in the armies of Tawhid governments and then we claim that we love Ahlul Bayt. Imam Sajjad, he said to Imam Sajjad that Mr. Qatil Abik, I'm not the killer of your father, why are you behaving like that towards me? And Imam Sajjad said, Inna Qatil Abi afsada bima fa'alahu dunyahu alayhi wa afsada Abi alayhi bithalika akhiratahu. Look at the statement of Imam. What is his viewpoint about the situation? He says, the killer of my father, Yazid, the killer of my father spoiled the dunya of my father over my father. He destroyed the dunya of my father. He had no dunya. And my father, what he did, وَأَفْسَدَ أَبِي عَلَيْهِ بِذَلِكَ آخِرَتَهُ. And because of what the killer did, my father spoiled his akhirat on him. The killer of my father spoiled the dunya of my father, and my father spoiled his akhirat over him. So he has no akhirat. He is doomed. And فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَ كَهُوَ فَكُنْ. So you also wish to be like him? Okay, be. Who cares? You want to be like the killer of my father? Be. You want to join him? You also want to destroy your akhirat? Go ahead. فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَ كَهُوَ فَكُنْ. And Abd al-Malik retreated. He said, no, kalla. No, I don't want to be the killer like the killer of your father. But the point is that that at least come over to get some dunya from us. At least you can give me some dunya. Okay, the dunya of your father was spoiled by his killer, but we can give you some dunya. You have lots of money and stuff. And فَجَلَسَ رِغَيْتَ of Imam Baqir says, فَجَلَسَ عَلِيُّ بْنِ الْحُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَبَّسَطَ رِدَاءَهُ. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when he heard that statement, that Abd al-Malik is saying that come over to get some dunya from us. That is why the people are, you know, seeking the pleasure of Tawhid people to get dunya. Let's see what Imam Sajjad considers getting dunya from the Tawhid. He said that, Rawayat says that Imam Sajjad sat down and he spread his rida on the soil. So basata rida'ahu. and said, Allahumma arihi hurmata awliya'ika indaka. O my Lord, show the respect of your awliya in your eyes to him. How much do you respect your awliya? Show the respect of yours to him, the respect you have for your awliya. فَإِذَا إِذَارُهُ مَمْلُوَّةٌ دُرَرًا. As soon as Imam said that statement, his whole aba was full of pearls. يَكَادُ شُعَاءُهَا يَخْتِفُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Such glittering pearls that were so shining that you can hardly look towards it. So shining pearls. And then Imam Sajjad addressed him that man kana, the person who has such a respect in the eyes of Allah, yahtaju ila dunyaka, or muhtaju ila dunyaka. The person who has disrespect in the eyes of Allah, does he stand in need of your dunya? And he prayed to Allah, Allahumma khudha falahadat ali fiha. Then he prayed to Allah to take it back because I don't need it. I don't have any ihtiyaj, any need towards all that. So we have such leaders and such imams who are our awliya. How can a person who believes such awliya can still bow down before the Tawhid people to gain dunya? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not provide dunya to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. He did not do the will and irada for giving dunya to Ahlul Bayt. He did not wish it. He did not wish it. Intentionally Allah did not wish, and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam also did not wish to get dunya. And all those who love Ahlul Bayt are also not given dunya by Allah. That's also true. I already told you the hadith of the Holy Prophet. Allahumma arzuq Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin wa man ahabba Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin al-ifaf wal-kafaf. Oh my Lord, give Muhammad and ala Muhammad and all those who love Muhammad and ala Muhammad the chastity in their behavior and the amount of things which are sufficient for their necessities of life, only that much amount. But more than that, Allah did not will for you to get more. And what was man abghadha Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadan al kathrat al mal wal walad. And that is why we find, you know, the riot we find from Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. That she said that Hazrat Zakariya, the Prophet Zakariya, had the majlis, had the azar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for 3 days. He had the azar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for 3 days. You know, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that in إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِالْعَبْدِ خَيْرًا بِالْخَيْرِ. Whenever Allah wills goodness for somebody, what he does, قَذَفَ حُبَّ الْحُسَيْنِ وَحُبَّ زِيَارَتِهِ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Allah puts the love of Hussein and the love of his ziyarat in the heart of that mu'min, that person. This is a special inayat of Allah if somebody has that situation. So the hadith says the Prophet Zakariya held the azar of Imam Hussein alayhi salam for 3 days. This is before the birth of Imam Hussein, certainly. And he prayed to Allah to give us that now that I know that you shall provide this bala and test, this examination you will put to test this Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the Holy Prophet and Hazrat Zahra into this test. In other words, I would like you to put me into a similar test as well. Give me a son who should be subjected to shahadat like Imam Hussain would be subjected to shahadat. And Allah accepted the dua of Prophet Zakariya, and Ya Zakariya inna nubashshiruka bi ghulam ismuhu Yahya lam naj'al lahu min qablu samiyya. Allah gave him Prophet Yahya as his son. And I don't want to enter into that discussion. Prophet Yahya and Imam Hussain al Islam had several similarities among themselves. Like Imam Hussain's, you know, the time of his pregnancy was 6 months only. Likewise, Prophet Yahya's time of pregnancy was 6 months only. And he got shaheed, and he also got shaheed. That was the dua of Prophet Zakariya. And they have resemblances. But there are so many differences between Prophet Yahya and Imam Hussain. How can you compare Prophet Yahya to Imam Hussain alayhi salam? Prophet Yahya did not used to speak in the womb of his mother, whereas Imam Hussain used to speak in the womb of his mother. He used to say that Anal Achan, I am the one who is thirsty, talking to his mother Hazrat Zahra. Anal Ghareeb, I am the one who is Ghareeb. Anal Mazloom, I am the one who is Mazloom. Anal Achan, أنا الغريب أنا المظلوم أنا القتيل I'm the one who would be killed. Prophet Yahya refused to speak to his mom. And we find that Hazrat Zahra, once she said to the very Prophet, in some rivayat we find that, oh my father, this son of mine, in the night when I'm walking somewhere, when I'm going somewhere, I find I don't need a lamp, because this son of mine, in the womb, he is so much munawwar and so much noor he has, that everywhere I go in the night, it is always lighted up with the noor of the sun. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, you know what he said? That إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ نُورِ الْحُسَيْنِ. Allah created the heaven with the noor of Hussain. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ نُورِ الْحُسَيْنِ. Allah created the heaven from the noor of Hussain ibn Ali alayhi salam. How much noor Imam Hussain had, that Hazrat Zahra said, Prophet Yahya was not like that. And we find that Prophet Yahya's head was not raised over the spear, that the hand of Imam Hussain was raised over the spear. We find that nobody insulted like Prophet Yahya like that, that the hand of Imam Hussain was there before Yazid in his palace and in the tusk, and Yazid is insulting Imam Hussain and touching his stick over the teeth of Imam Hussain. When we find in the life history of Prophet, whenever Imam Hussain used to smile, certain rivayat say that Prophet, when he used to watch the teeth of Imam Hussain and smiling, Prophet used to start crying over that situation, because of the fact that these were the teeth that will be insulted by Yazid. These were the teeth that will be insulted tomorrow after Karbala. And in the palace of Yazid, we find that there the hand of Imam Hussain is there, and Yazid is drunk, and he is in drunkenness, he is insulting Imam Hussain's head, and the companion of Prophet is sitting there in the palace. As he finds this situation, he cannot stand it. He starts objecting on Yazid, that Yazid, stop it there. I saw the Holy Prophet myself. He used to kiss the lips of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and he used to respect Imam Hussain so much. How can you insult Imam Hussain that? And there was the ambassador of Rome who was sitting there in the palace of Yazid, who inquired from Yazid that who is this Hussain? Who is this person that you have killed and made his family members as captives and brought them here? And Yazid said, well, this is the Hussain, who is the son of Fatima. And he said, who is Fatima? And he said that this is the daughter of the Holy Prophet. And he said that shame on you, that you killed the grandson of your Holy Prophet. And I belong to the genesis of Prophet Isa. And back home, everybody respects me so much because I belong to the family of Prophet Isa. And you have killed the grandson of your Holy Prophet. And Yazid could not stand it. Lord, that he commanded that this person should be killed. And as they were trying to kill him, he stopped your deed. They said, okay, you can kill me, but just let me tell you one short story that I saw in my dream. Last night, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, he came in my dream, and he was giving me congratulations for entering into the paradise. And I was surprised, how come the messenger of Islam is telling me that I will enter into paradise? And now I realize why your prophet came in my dream, and he was saying that, and he got hold of the Hadith of our bed and made him a witness that, Mora, be a witness that I am dying on your religion, and I am dying for the love of you.
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما يحول بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به رضوانك ومن اليقين ما يهون علينا به منصبات الدنيا اللهم امتعنا باسماعنا وابصارنا وقواتنا ما احييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا اكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا بحق محمد وآله الميامين بايلا پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار رکھ تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما تمام اسیران اسلام کو جل سے رہا فرما تمام مؤمنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما تمام مؤمنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مؤمنین